listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
You know what that means. It's episode 49, part 3, the heavy metal episode, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is the heavy metal episode.
And John,
I don't know why we call it that.
Why are you letting this song play so long?
Because one of our favorite listeners, The Way of the Bob.
W-O-T-B to you and me, John.
That's right, W-O-T-B sent this song to me. He emailed me. This is his old band, Imbalance, and this song's called "The Future Is a Joke."
The future? How about right now, John?
right now is a big fucking joke.
Right now is a fucking joke. Now, how did WOTB contribute to this? Was he the bass player?
He was the bass player. So you guys have something in common.
Yes, we have something in common. I'm a bass player as well.
God damn it, they rock. The second I heard this tune, I could not wait to get it set up to play for the heavy metal episode. The drums in it are fucking phenomenal.
The last heavy metal episode before the Big 5-0, John.
That's right. And we're going to feature more of Imbalance. I think that's what we're going to do. We're going to just start featuring a heavy metal band or a hard rock band or, well, punk band mainly, for the heavy metal episode. I don't know why we called it that. We just came out with the tune that one time, and that's the way it happened, right?
Tradition. Why do they put ash on their head? We talked about this. We don't know.
Because they're assholes.
Somebody came up with it. And you know what I saw on TV, John? Piss me off to high heaven.
What's that?
A remake of The Ten Commandments is coming out.
No.
Why would you remake that movie?
I have no idea.
It's like remaking Casablanca, John. Anybody do better than Charlton Heston.
That's right.
As Moses.
And Let
Yul
my
Brenner
people go.
As Ramses.
So it is written, so it shall be.
So it is written. Yeah, I know, and then
I want the name of Moses stricken from every stone.
What what cracks me up, though, about that movie is that Ramsey's fairy tale didn't work.
No.
But the whole Moses one did.
Of course it did. Cecil B. DeMille wouldn't have made it if Moses's fairy tale didn't work.
Where's your Messiah now?
Hey, Moses.
Moses, look at my golden calf.
Moses has been up in the mountains for 2 weeks. See? Well, I think we should melt these golden things into a big calf.
What the fuck is his name?
Edward G. Robinson.
Edward G. Robinson.
He's gone.
We
you
got
see?
An old, old.
He's not your leader.
Yeah, that's right. We got this golden calf. Over there. Yeah, you too. Have an orgy.
Show me some boob.
Show me your tits.
I'm sorry. John wrote the script. Show me your tits.
Show me. Show me some vag. Matter of fact, can your vag talk? Hey, let me hear something out of your vag. Hey, hello.
And don't forget Vincent Price.
I'm calling it the Cicero.
Who was Vincent Price? Was he his? Who was Vincent Price?
Vincent Price was the one who caught John Derek, Joshua, and he strung him up and started whipping him.
Oh, right.
Because he was John, because they stole John Derek's chick, man.
I'm Vincent, Vincent Price, right? That's right. Seduced her with the Jesus.
With Jesus.
I guess the Sphinx wasn't good enough.
The Sphinx.
No doubt, John. No doubt.
This is another one submitted by Airwolf.
Oh, another shitty thing happened.
No.
Last weekend, I listened to the worst radio show ever recorded, the Matt Dahl Show. And I listened to it. It's like a train wreck. I can't stop. It's so horrible, but I cannot turn it off.
I listen to it while I'm taking a shit.
So last week, they had an April Fool's thing where the Rover from Cleveland was going to take over Saturday mornings. The best of Rover. So this was going to be their
last.
Fools.
You were telling me that you didn't know.
I didn't know. So it was April Fool's because they were back on the air.
They tricked you.
I turned in. I was planning on hearing the best of Rover. What conceptually that could possibly be, the best of Rover, when these motherfuckers were back on the air.
Oh, that would be such a chaotic situation.
It was. Yeah, I was in chaos, John. It was chaos.
Pure
all over.
Chaos.
Pure chaos. And I'm not talking about chaos theory, John. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Because we're still in the heavy metal episode. You know what song this is, don't you, Scott?
Of course I do, John, because I filmed a rockumentary.
That's right.
Of the greatest Chicago band that ever was.
Gramadator. Well, this is the name of the song. Catheter is the name of the band. Yeah, it sounds like Wolfman Jack. Oh, yeah. We're going to play some heavy metal episodes. A couple selections from you from Kill the Death Guy. All right.
Sorry.
Sorry, man. All right, first things first, John, when we here at TTN make mistakes, we correct our mistakes.
That's right.
Because we're keeping it real, John, real stupid that is. So if you have that queued up, go ahead and play what we need to correct right here, right now.
Let me change the tape.
Right here, right now. Whatever happened to those guys? Oh, no, it wasn't those guys. It wasn't those guys.
Right here, right now.
Those guys said they were going to be, they're already better than the Beatles.
Who and was that?
I have no idea.
Jesus and Mary Chain?
Jesus, 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 something. I Jones for Jesus? I don't know.
Jews for Jesus?
Yeah, let's talk about that fairy tale. Talk about fucked up fairy tales. Let's take a fairy tale, be hypocritical about it, and make it our fairy tale.
All right, TTN correction. Here we go.
Oh, get this, John. A Russian MP says U.S. to attack Iran in late March. A top Russian parliamentary leader has told somebody, Eko Moskva radio station, that an attack on Iran is inevitable and that it will occur on March 28th. All right, so we have a correction. March 28th came and went, John, didn't it?
Oh, no. It could be next March 28th.
And there was no attack.
What year?
On Iran. Oh, well, I guess I didn't mention the year.
That's right.
The Ruski didn't. He's probably like over in England where they don't know how when to say the year.
Are you sure it was March 28th? Maybe it was the 28th month.
Right.
And the third day.
And the third day. But what year? We don't know because
right.
Maybe they put it at the end.
Yeah.
You know, because smallest and then middle, little and then medium.
No,
and then
wait a minute. No.
Big.
It's big,
medium,
small. Oh, no. It's little,
medium,
big.
And huge.
It's kind of like the time.
Right, except backwards.
Backwards.
Yeah, all right. So we need to correct that.
We're just kidding. Come on, Paulie, be relax.
Attack Iran on March 28th.
Love
but John
show.
Made a good point. Maybe it's next year, March 28th. But maybe not, John, because let me read this story to you. The Bush administration is studying options. I'm sorry. The Bush regime is studying options
start goose
for military strikes against Iran as part of a broader strategy of coercive diplomacy to pressure Tehran to abandon its alleged nuclear development program, according to U.S. officials. No attacks appear likely in the short term, John, and many specialists inside and outside the government harbor serious doubts about whether an armed response would be effective. But administration officials are preparing for it as a possible option and using the threat to convince them that's the Iranians, John.
Oh.
This is more and more serious. Now, and that was a senior official puts it. So our senior officials talk like retards, John.
It's fuzzy
math.
So that
should give us confidence.
Yeah.
Convince them this is more and more serious.
That needs to be fixed.
According to a current and former officials, John, Pentagon and CIA planners have been exploring possible targets such as the uranium-rich uranium-enrichment plant
in Natanzas.
And the Uranium Conservation Facility in Isfahan.
Nuclear.
Although a land invasion is not contemplated, military officials are weighing alternatives ranging from a airstrike aimed at key nuclear sites, John. Stop laughing. This is serious.
Alternatives?
Alternatives.
Damn the consequences.
Damn it. All right, John, now you had some W, didn't you? Didn't you have some W?
I do.
The W. I can get to my next W because
I got some W. Yeah.
I got W all the time, John.
The Associated Press said President Bush's approval rating hit a series of new lows.
Really?
In an AP Ipsos poll that also shows Republicans surrendering their advantage on national security. Grim election year news for a party struggling to stay in power, Scott. Get this. Democratic leaders predicted they will seize control of one or both chambers of Congress in November. See, where I start, my lips start going, you know.
Oh, I know, John.
Come on, man. I'm not ready.
John, I'm fixing to fuck you tonight.
All right. Where was I? Democratic leaders predicted they will seize control. Republicans said they feared the worst unless the political landscape quickly changes. These numbers, can I use one of your voices?
Sure, of course.
These numbers are scary.
I can't do it as good as you, man.
Of course not. It's my voice. God damn it.
We've lost every advantage we've ever had, GOP pollster Tony Fabrizio said.
Fabrizio.
I guess he should be talking like this. All right. The good news is Democrats don't have much of a plan. The bad news is they may not need one.
Well, he's hit it right on the head, John. And like we said, we're not party specific. We're in for the common sense.
Right.
But John, name me one Democrat that stepped up. What are they doing?
Oh, I know. They're big pussies.
It's unbelievable. Bush has the lowest rating of any president ever, and the Democrats haven't even lifted a finger.
They're scared.
That shows you how stupid the W is. The Democrats don't say a goddamn thing, and he's still got the lowest approval rating of all fucking time.
Bush's approval rating is down 12 points among Republicans since a year ago. 6 in 10 Republicans, we reported this before, said they disapprove of the GOP-led Congress. This is a quote. I'm not going to go into a voice. I just assume they shut Congress down for a few years, said Robert Hirsch, 72. He's 72, this guy. He's a Republican-leaning voter in Chicago. All they do is keep passing laws and figuring out ways to spend our money. So he's tired of politics on either side, and he's a Republican-leaning voter.
Fucking A, and shouldn't everybody be? And why doesn't this country wake up? And what I do not understand at all, John, is these goddamn news organizations. And we talked about this before, about how Bush is in with Murdoch and all this other crap. And I just can't believe that these journalists are fucking laying down, not doing their goddamn jobs, and they're just toting the party line.
Right.
It makes me goddamn sick, John, because that is the most unpatriotic thing you can fucking do.
is just sit there and be a Bush apologist.
Well,
do you hear that, special ed?
Well, you know, Michael Hirsch from Newsweek said there are presently two sectarian wars underway that will decide America's future, one in Iraq and one inside the Republican Party. The issues are intimately related. If Iraq erupts into full-blown civil war, breaks up.
If. When, yeah. John, when?
Right. The war within the GOP will effectively be settled. The last ounce of credibility will be drained from George W. Bush's great revolution over the use of American power. The neoconservative program that Bush adopted will instantly become an odd historical footnote, going the way of the know-nothings and the mugwumps.
And we talk about history, and he's got to go down in history as the retard that made the oral office, John.
Yeah.
It's undamned believable God. All right.
That's funny.
There's some good
news. That's funny, Scott.
There's some good news for us, John.
Yeah?
New White House tactic. Let Bush be Bush. George W. Bush is taking time to explain himself, open up to the public in new ways, and to the core of the U.S. Congress as he tries to breathe life into a presidency beset by sagging ratings.
Who does?
The W's.
Damn the consequences.
With the job approval rating under 40, John, and we just talked about that, he went to his Crawford Ranch for a quiet weekend. He has a long way to go. Aides acknowledge it will take a while to rebuild his image, and much will depend on the outcome of the Iraq War. Well, we all know that that's going in the shitter, John.
Right.
So how is he going to repair his image? White House staffers who have long limited the president's appearances to speeches and photo ops with little contact with regular people are now inclined to let Bush be Bush. And to me, John, that means they're just throwing up their hands. They say, I don't know what else to do.
Yeah,
I've tried to have the monkey hit the red one. When the White Castle cheeseburgers, and he won't do it. He rather hits the blue one and would like to smell feces instead of hitting the red and getting the White Castle cheeseburger. So I'm just throwing my hands up. Let Bush be Bush.
That needs to be fixed.
And that's good news for us, John.
Yeah.
It's fucking good news for us.
Great news.
It's like when Tom Cruise fired his publicist and hired his sister. And we got to all know about Tom Cruise and Scientology.
Oh, my God. Well, and maybe, hopefully, Cheney won't shoot anybody in the face either.
All right, so we have a W clip. Now, I don't know how this guy got in to this Bush apologist town meeting, but the W took a question. But here's the thing. The guy didn't even fucking ask a question. He just gave his opinion. He didn't ask a specific question. He just rattled on about why he's so upset and pissed off like you and me, John.
Did you see the picture on the forum?
What I did
the
see
name
that.
Of that
I have no idea, but they post a Norman Rockwell of a patriot, a very patriotic man.
Yeah.
And then they post the photo of this guy talking at this thing. Henry Taylor is his name. And we should keep track of Henry Taylor. Make sure he doesn't float out on a barge 25 miles and never come back, John.
Yeah, no doubt.
But we're going to play the audio here. But the thing is, you got to see the video of this. If you haven't seen the video of this clip, you got to see it to see this fucking smug look on the W's face. Like he's fucking Robert De Niro in Taxi Driver. What, you talking to me? Are you fucking talking to me? Huh? Who is this motherfucker talking to me? That's what the face he's got on. And then the stupidity, he goes right into the chimp routine. It's a joke. And then to see these a-holes in the audience applauding the W for his stupid joke. This isn't a joke, folks.
Folks.
So whatever you want to play the clip, John, I think I've exhausted the possible preludes to something like this. I'm starting to talk like Tom Skilling, John.
Here we go.
Took advantage of his opportunity today. The man criticized the president's views on everything from abortion to electronic eavesdropping. The president let the man have his say, and then he offered a response.
Wait till you hear this. His response.
I see you assert your right to tap my telephone, to arrest me and hold me without charges, to try to preclude me from breathing clean air and drinking clean water. And
what's your point?
If our
you got
woman
a question?
Would like to restrict my opportunity to make a choice. And
I'm not your favorite guy. Go ahead.
I'm not your favorite guy.
Cocksucker.
I have never felt more ashamed of nor
fucking A
by my leadership in Washington, including the presidency, by the Senate and
Let her speak.
And I feel like despite your rhetoric, that compassion and common sense have been left far behind during your administration.
Hear, hear.
And I would hope from time to time that you have the humility and the grace to be ashamed of yourself, inside yourself.
He doesn't. He's a chimp.
All right. Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Before we got this podcast rolling tonight,
yeah,
you told me not to play this one.
Oh, I did?
You said, hey, man, I just want you to see the W and the smirking faces he makes, you asshole. Now, I want everybody to know how fast I got this fucking clip.
Your producer of the year.
Off of my server.
Your server.
Sure.
That's why you're producer of the year, John.
That's why. Okay, now we'll get into what the W has to say.
All right, before you get to the W, if you and I, he was the only motherfucker in that room, which leads me to believe that it may have been set up.
Maybe a plant, yeah.
Because, for instance, if you and I were in this room and that guy stood up and was saying that shit, we'd be like, yeah, fucking hell!
Motherfucker!
But nobody in that crowd says a goddamn thing, except they start booing this motherfucker.
I'm surprised Charlton Heston didn't jump up and just shoot him.
All right. You mean like he did in the Ten Commandments?
No. What? No, and like, don't you remember in Bowling for Columbine, that fucked up Michael Moore movie? He goes to this town after a kid gets like gunned down in the street. He's 11 years old, and the next day, Charlton Heston shows up. Charlton Heston shows up with the NRA, holding a rifle over his head, out of my cold dead hands.
All right, so let's let Charlton Heston show up with a machine gun. I get it now, John.
Hey, I'm sorry, my intellect is over your head. All right?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry for all this chaos.
The W, his response.
Very chaotic situation.
The guy never asked a question, which pisses me off.
All right,
but W's going to respond anyway.
Here we go.
I'm going to start off with what you first said, if you don't mind. you said that I tap your phones. I'm not going to apologize for what I did on the terrorist surveillance program. If we're at war, we ought to be using tools necessary within the Constitution on a very limited basis, a program that's reviewed constantly.
Wait a minute. When is this war going to be over?
I don't know, and fuck that. What tool is he referring to in the Constitution, John?
I don't know.
The tool that allows us in the Constitution for the president to be above the law.
I only know.
And to break laws.
The tool in the White House, but
yeah, we know that tool.
Fucking tool.
But even him to bring up the Constitution makes me want to retch, John. It makes me want to puke all over.
But you know, Pauly B brought up something in one of the forums. The rest of the world is laughing at us because we got the biggest pussy media in the fucking world. Have you ever seen the media in the UK, how they beat the shit out of Tony Blair?
And they should, and we should have the same type of media,
but
we don't
have it. We're the one that invented that fucking type of media.
Because they're in Bush's back pocket for whatever goddamn reason.
It's unbelievable.
And it's got to become embarrassing at some point, John. It's got to be goddamn downright disembarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
Whatever I just said.
Goddamn gizm badabba embarrassing.
Yeah, fucking A.
All right, well, let's move on.
All right. To protect us. Now, you and I have a different of agreement on what is needed to be protected.
A different of agreement.
But you said, would I apologize for that? The answer is absolutely not.
Absolutely not. So fuck you is his answer.
The answer is absolutely.
So I'm going to keep listening to your phone calls. I'm going to do whatever I want because I'm above the goddamn law because I'm the W and I'm a chimp
And I'm above the law because I don't understand law. I don't understand history. I don't understand business. The only thing I understand is L-O-S-E-R, John. Loser. That's loser, and that's
dude,
what
come
I understand.
On, man. I'm sitting there, what, L-O-S-E-R? What the hell is he spelled? Lazer. Lozenge?
I got another W story. No, so all this shit is going on. We're more in debt than we ever were in the world, in history. Iraq is busting out in civil war. We need to get the fuck out of there. And how much have we lost? $1 trillion, John?
Yeah.
$1 trillion in Iraq? Oh, that's fucking great.
Yep.
And my gas is $3 a gallon. That's just fucking great. And
it's
and
really
now,
not that much compared to the rest of the world.
All this shit going on, and guess what the W is doing? He's doing a stand-up, John. Stand-up.
Stand-up routine.
Why is this man laughing, and why is the man not? President Bush put Dick Cheney in the crosshairs for a change, John. Washington is still buzzing about President Bush's shtick at last weekend's gridiron dinner. There are all these conspiracy... Oh, I got to get into it.
I talked to Vice President Cheney.
There are all these conspiracy theories that Dick Cheney runs the country, or Karl Rove runs the country. The commander-in-chief told lawmakers and veteran journalists at the 121st annual gathering in D.C. Why aren't any of the conspiracy theories that I run the country? Really, it ticks me off. Yeah. On top of that, he had to have a hunting accident. Dick, W told his Veep.
Dick.
I've got an approval rating of 38, and you shoot the only trial lawyer in the country who likes me. By the way, when Dick first heard my approval rating was 38, he said, "What's your secret?" Lynn Cheney assured everyone that her husband does have a great sense of humor. The other day I asked him, "Do you know how many terrorists it takes to paint a wall?" He answered right back, "It depends on how hard you throw them, John." So it's all laughs and giggles, John. All laughs and goddamn giggles in the White House.
It depends on how hard you throw.
And let's talk about the wiretapping. The guy made a comment about, you could tap my phone. Hey, I'm going to use tools in the Constitution to do this because I'm the W and I'm above the law. But get this, John. The other thing that came out this week is that the Libby, remember Libby?
Yeah, the scooter.
The scooter Libby said, they're all trying to figure out who leaked this information to the journalists about Valerie Plame.
Right.
CIA agent who was outed, who was at risk. And all her friends and associates are now at risk because she was doing some undercover work. So her husband was saying bad shit about the W. He was telling it like it is. He was saying, "I don't believe in the WMDs. I think the W and his regime are selling this bullshit to the world to invade Iraq, and I think it's all a bunch of hogwash." So somebody leaked to journalists the identity of this guy who was saying all this, his wife, who was an undercover CIA agent.
It's barbaric.
Is that a pretty good summarization there, John?
I believe so.
Did I hit it on the head, if you will?
Yeah. It's fuzzy so math.
All right. So now, since this came out that somebody leaked the information, the White House has always said, hey, that's not cool, and we're going to find out who it is, right? So now, remember, John, President Bush has always made his view of leakers perfectly clear. Before, during, and after the Valerie Plame and NSA wiretapping
right.
leaks have been bedeviled.
Because he never makes a mistake.
Bush has insisted that leakers thwart the proper functioning of government. I can't believe the W could put that sentence together.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
In certain cases, they commit treason, John. He has described leakers as low-level, frustrated bureaucrats who feed their own egos by passing along juicy tidbits to mangy reporters. Or is that mangy? I don't know. As Bush told reporters in December 2001, somebody in our government wanted to show off to his family or her family in between Christmas and New Year's by leaking information in the press. I don't know why
money.
People who do that. I guess either to make you, the press, feel good or to make themselves feel good. And then it turns out, John, that the president himself is the leaker. He's the one.
He's the leaker in
He's
charge.
He's the one who gave it up to Cheney, who gave it up to Libby, who gave it up to the journalist. The W is the leaker.
The W.
So he wiretaps and now he leaks. We've always known that the commander-in-chief's distaste for leaking didn't stop it from happening, But this is the first time we appear to have a direct evidence that Bush and his had his hand on the sphincter, John.
Yeah.
Documents filed yesterday by special counsel Patrick Fitzgerald report that Scooter Libby told a federal grand jury that President Bush authorized him to leak the information from a classified national intelligence report.
Pardon me?
Libby said blah, blah, blah. Cheney told him that Bush specifically had authorized him to disclose certain information to the NIE. The leak strategy was part of a larger administration effort to counter claims they had distorted evidence about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction during the march to war, John.
Good riddance.
And I think it's pretty goddamn obvious that the evidence was distorted, that this motherfucker leaked the information, and he performs illegal wiretaps.
Yeah.
So where is the support behind Feingold for the fucking impeachment, John?
Right. Absolutely. It's the Democrats are either they're waist deep in the same bullshit.
Right.
Or they're just a big bunch of big pussies.
One or the other. I don't know which one is worse, John.
And maybe they're waiting for the motherfucker to just hang himself.
Oh, that's not going to happen. Because he can always go back to the ranch.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the ranch, John. That was fantastic.
Hey, battling dickheads.
No doubt.
I got some science news. Is it science? I don't know.
Science news
are
coming
still,
up.
Are we still talking W?
No, I'm fuck the W,
I can't
man.
Take it anymore.
It's I don't know what to say about the W's.
Well, I don't know if you heard about this lately, but an ancient manuscript rediscovered after 1,700 years takes a contrarian view of the relationship between Jesus and Judas, the disciple who handed him over for crucifixion.
Judas, the traitor.
That's right. Instead of portraying Judas Iscariot as a traitor, as the canonical Gospels of the New Testament do, this document, the Gospel of Judas, indicates that he acted at the request of Jesus to help him shed his earthly body.
It was a setup, John.
That's right. Let a vigorous debate on the significance... I'm trying to do a voice. Wait, let me do a better one. Let a vigorous debate on the... Let a vigorous debate on the significance of this fascinating ancient text begin. The Reverend Donald Sr., president of the Catholic Theological Union of Chicago, said Thursday. Sr. expressed doubt that the new gospel will rival the New Testament, but allowed that opinions are likely to differ on it. The text helps show the diversity of beliefs in early Christianity, added Marvin Meyer, professor of Bible studies at Chapman University in Orange, California.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I got a science story, John.
Wait a minute. I want to just go on a little bit.
All right.
Well, you know this thing about Dan Brown, right?
Right. He got sued, man.
He got sued, but he's been acquitted. He's
hunky-dory.
Everything's cool. I think next week or a couple of weeks, the new movie's coming out featuring Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
Yes. The Da Vinci Code, which is based on a novel, a fiction novel. And Dan Brown was actually his publishing company was being held liable, I guess, for copyright infringement. Okay. Well, the guy who's doing it is this dude, one of the guys, Michael Bagan, has a new book out that's called The Jesus Papers. And he says part of his theory is that Judas did actually conspire with Jesus to fake the crucifixion so Jesus could rise from the dead and also live on.
Whoa. And
so
what is
now
Christianity.
But what's funny, you know, that was like what he's been saying since the early 80s when his first book came out. And now this comes out, the actual Greek translation of the Gospel of Judas, saying now that, oh, yeah, Judas and Jesus did conspire. So, hey, you never know. Maybe that conspiracy theory is true about the fairy tale.
Right.
Maybe the fairy tale really is a fairy tale, John. Wow, would that be shocking?
Shocking.
Well, John, in a related science story, device warns if you are boring or irritating. A device that can pick
what
up on people's emotions is being developed to help people with autism relate to those around them.
What does it do?
It will alert its autistic user if the person they are talking to starts showing signs of getting bored or annoyed. One of the problems facing people with autism is the inability to pick up on social cues. Failure to notice that they are boring or confusing their listeners can be particularly damaging. So they got this device now that's going to let them know that when they're boring.
What does it say?
What do you mean? What does it say?
I don't know.
You're big boring. You're big boring.
That means not tell the truth.
Who knows what it says? I'm not autistic.
Does it go off like that?
I don't know. We can get one for you. We'll try it out.
You cannot lead if you send mixed messages.
In other science news, John, only 15% of obese people see themselves as obese. In a study, they accurately calculated their height and weight but classified themselves as overweight, not obese. By contrast, more than 70% of overweight, normal weight people accurately classified themselves. Interpretation 1. Fat people don't know the numerical threshold of obesity. 2. They don't know it, but don't want to admit they do know it. I'm sorry, John. And they do not want to admit they are fat. Or 3. We're getting so fat, we've all lost perspective on what fat is.
Well, I consider myself overweight, but my doctor considers me grossly obese.
Okay, so you're one of the 85%.
I'm not in denial. I just don't like calculate it mathematically in the morning and go, oh yeah, that.
This morning I'm
grossly obese.
Grossly.
Yesterday I was just overweight.
Usually obese.
Yesterday I was just obese. Today I'm grossly obese.
Right. Yeah. Who knows? What are those markers?
I don't know,
John.
I don't know either.
I don't know. What are we doing? How are we doing on time?
We're got 3 minutes left.
3 minutes?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Well, it's a good thing Phil showed up.
Yeah, no doubt.
No doubt. Well, let me get right to the door.
I'll get
him right in. Hold on. Yeah. Maybe we could shorten this up a little bit.
Yeah, 3 minutes worth, if we can.
Hey!
Z-Guile.
Okay. So I made it back first. I always make it back first. There we go, Phil. He's ready. Are you ready, Phil? He's got his papers. He looks pretty serious.
He does?
Yes. Looks
just
pretty good.
His head full.
Phil, just relax. Jesus H.
Well, it's funny you should mention Jesus H. He'll be in my first story. Jesus H.
Wow.
There you have it.
All right, right into it. Here we go.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John.
And our first story tonight, Jesus' crucifixion looked completely different than what we think it could, and for good reason. He more than likely was nailed to the cross by his genitals. Imagine that hanging up in a church.
That's blasphemy.
Around the world in churches, on the walls of Christian homes, on crucifixes worn on pendants, and innumerable books, paintings, and movies, Jesus Christ is seen nailed to the cross by his hands and feet, with his head upwards and arms outstretched. But a paper published by Britain's prestigious Royal Society of Medicine says this image has never been substantiated by fact. The Romans had a broad and cruel imagination, John. Their crucifixion methods probably evolved over time and depended on the social status of the victim and on the crime he allegedly committed. The cross could be erected in any one of a range of orientations, with
upside
the victim sometimes
down.
Head up, sometimes head down,
right,
or in different postures, John.
On the Appian Way.
Sometimes, John, he was nailed to the cross by his genitals. And sometimes the head and feet were attached to the side of the cross and not to the front, or affixed with cords rather than nails. So you decide,
wow.
John. Next story.
I don't need to decide.
Baseball Hall of Fame needs Barry Bond artifacts. Bats and balls sought. No word on syringes or creams. For that matter, good luck finding any balls. Next story. Man arrested for cleaning worker
Man arrested after cleaning worker notices him taking a crap at the Hall of Justice where he ought not be crapping. A cleaning worker at the Hall of Justice looks outside late Tuesday night and caught sight of a different kind of moon. David Shum allegedly had his pants down and was defecating on the concrete veranda just north of the entrance, John. The cleaning personnel contacted police outside the building, and the sergeant went out and caught the 46-year-old in the act. If convicted, he can face a minimum of a $100 fine by the city ordinance. John, this is a special news announcement. Do we have a special news announcement audio file to play? This just in. This is just off the wire, John.
I'm going to fucking kill you, man.
This just in, John. This just in, John.
That's all I got, man.
That's fine. This just in, John. Astronomers discover new blue ring around Uranus. Oh, next story.
Dumbass.
Man pleads guilty of mailing bomb to doctor who botched his penis enlargement surgery. This is the story of how a man's wayward guest quest to enlarge his penis landed him in federal court, pleading guilty to weapons of mass destruction charges. His offense? Building a tiny bomb and mailing it to the cosmetic surgeon who had promised but failed to deliver big results, John. He faces a likely prison sentence of 4 years or more on a charge more commonly used against terrorists than dissatisfied customers. It all began in early 2004 at the home of Brent R. Steedler, a 25-year-old factory worker and devout Christian. Oh, eager to find a cosmetic surgeon who would enlarge his small penis. Steedler logged onto the internet. Located one in Chicago and traveled roughly, and spent roughly $8,000 on the procedure. To put it mildly, there were complications, John. And the client was extremely unhappy with the results. It's a very sad case for a young kid from Lancaster County who's had a tough go of it, said his attorney, Louis Ortiz. Steidler, unhappy with his surgery, he simply snapped, then tried to correct a bad decision. Next story, man. Next story, John. I'm dyslexic just like Scott is. Two men detained after walking from the U.S. to Russia. In other news, you can walk from the U.S. to Russia. Next story, John. I'll skip that story. Next story, John. In shortest speech of his career, Bush to acknowledge mistakes, tout successes in Iraq. Next story, John. fat people do not like to think of themselves as fat. In other news, researchers studying well-known psychological phenomenon like to think their work has important implications. Next story, John. Tennessee bus driver takes kids for drunken joyride. Knox County bus driver is facing DUI and hit-and-run charges after allegedly taking Farragut High School students on a drunken ride. 44-year-old Jennifer Reddy apparently picked up 27 students while intoxicated. The sheriff's department says that after driving erratically, Red sideswiped a parked car before finally taking the students back to school. Several students used their cell phones to call their parents. She blew, John. She blew a 1.0. I'm sorry. She blew a 0.64 on the breathalyzer.
You did that last time.
That's three times the legal limit. Next story. Southern Tennessee radio station switches to Air America and promptly disappears from the ratings.
What?
Bonus. It was a top 10 station that played elevator music before. Next story, John. Man pleads guilty to vandalizing town vehicles with underwear to get revenge after a park's employee blew grass clippings on him. Yeah, that'll show him. This is the case of a Wausau underwear vandal is closed. 58-year-old Thomas Vortigas of Wausau was sentenced to 6 months for disorderly conduct charges. He was caught on videotape last year hanging underwear on mirrors of the Parks Department vehicles. Police say Vogels wanted to embarrass the department after a worker blew grass clippings on him. Next story, John. I like that new stinger you got there, John. And I agree. Producer of the year, John from AKC Total Talk Nonsense. Next story, John. Suddenly realizing that bulldozers, tanks, and cruise missiles don't just materialize out of thin air, Hamas hints at recognizing Israel. Next story, John. Brokeback Mountain I'm sorry. Brokeback University, the saint.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
A Lafayette High School graduate has been kicked out of the university of his Cumberlands because he wrote
right
a
out
personal
of his
webpage that he was gay.
Right out of his Cumberlands.
The student, Jason Johnson, has officially dismissed earlier Thursday of yesterday, according to Larry Cockrum, director of the media relations at the 1700 student Baptist Institution. Johnson, a sophomore majoring in theater arts, ooh, big surprise there, was at home in Lexington last night. The dean's list student said he could not comment under instruction from his lawyer, Don Wagoner. Johnson was apparently thrown out of school 3 weeks before the end of the school year because his declaration that he was gay on MySpace violated a university policy, which is, and I quote, "Any student who engages or promotes sexual behavior not consistent with the Christian principles, including sex outside of marriage and homosexuality, may be suspended or asked to withdraw from the University of the Cumberlands, John." Next story. Today's car drives into a pool story brought to you by Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Bonus, driver took a shortcut through the house. Next story, John. When the judge says he can read the future, is endowed with supernatural powers, and opens every court session by reading from the Book of Revelation, it may be time to ask for a new judge. A judge who allegedly claimed to have psychic powers and said he had made a covenant with dwarf friends has been removed from his post. Judge Florentino Floro, who presided at a suburb, allegedly said he was empowered with supernatural abilities, could read the future, and conducted healing sessions in his chambers.
Easy, take a breath. Oh,
his mental problems for now appear to render him unfit for the delicate task of dispensing justice, the Supreme Court ruling said. I'm a dyslexic as fuck, John.
How is the Supreme Court? Where's the
next story, John? Man breaking into woman's house is dismayed that she has a roommate named Louisville Slugger. Next story, John. And this is the last story tonight. Man spanks it while taking out the garbage. What? Woman in line of sight calls the cops. Police are asking for the help in finding a man who inappropriately touched himself outside an apartment complex this week. A woman told police she was sitting in her car at 2:39 p.m. Wednesday in a parking lot of the Cedar Point Drive when the incident occurred. The man threw garbage into a large waste receptacle and walked back to the grassy area near the apartment building. Within the woman's line of vision, he pulled down his pants and touched himself inappropriately, according to Sherryville Police Commander Randy Reno.
What's the appropriate way to touch yourself?
Is there an appropriate way to touch yourself down there?
I don't know.
After pulling down your pants, can you touch yourself appropriately, John?
I don't know.
Maybe if you had toilet paper, you could make an argument. I had the goat's ass, officer.
On my balls.
The man, described as a black male in his late 20s or early 30s, was wearing sweatpants and a hooded sweatshirt. The incident occurred near the heavily traveled Burr Street, so police hope other witnesses will come forward to information to help generate more leads. Maybe somebody else saw this big black man's cock being touched inappropriately, Reno said. And that's the news, John.
All right. Thanks, Phil. All right, thanks, Phil.
I'm Phil McCracken with Cub with AKC Total Talk Nonsense. And thank you, John. And thank you, Scott. I'm going to go now.
Let me step away from the mic.
All right, as Errol Wolf says, fuck off.
Fuck Errol Wolf. Cocksucker. Fucking rules.
All right. Did he get it in under three? No. Was that under three?
Not even close.
No. Well, like we didn't tell
13
him.
13 minutes.
We didn't tell him. We didn't give him a time constraint.
You know, we never got to the audio track, The Sopranos, which I fucking edited before I put it together.
Well, you want to go ahead and play it?
Yeah.
All right. Now, before we play it, John, this was on The Sopranos last week, and we've talked about these types of MFers before.
Yeah.
These ID, intelligent design, right. These Christian whatever
totally brainwash idiots. We've talked about them before.
Yeah.
Now we're going to play a clip by one of these idiots on The Sopranos.
Even Tony knows what to say.
Well, and here's the deal. When we talk about these idiots, the W is one of them.
Right.
He's one of these ID guys. So when you hear this guy, just think of the President of the United States, because that's how stupid.
And the guy looks like Tom DeLay.
The W is anyways.
All right, here we go.
Dinosaurs. My kids can't get enough.
Yeah, me too. Ever since I saw King Kong kick their ass in the original. My son loves dinosaurs too.
That's interesting.
What?
Some people would have you believe dinosaurs existed millions of years ago. It's just not true. God created the Earth 6,000 years ago. And I tell my kids, you have to remember, dinosaurs and human beings lived on the Earth at the same time.
What, like the Flintstones?
It's in the Bible.
But what about all that carbon dating stuff? A lot of scientists would disagree with you.
Now get this answer.
I think you'll find those people all have an agenda, Tony. Evolution, which is Satan's plan to deny God. Evolution and salvation are mutually exclusive.
Guy next door's a scientist. Think he'd disagree with you big time.
Then that man's not saved. Read about Mr. Coulson. We'll talk later.
What's he saying? There were dinosaurs back with Adam and Eve?
I guess.
No way. T-Rex in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve would be running all the time, scared shitless. But the Bible says it was paradise.
Okay, right. Man. It was another great thing about that clip is he mentions that evolution is Satan's plan, John.
Yeah.
It's Satan's plan. Satan came up with evolution.
Right.
To try to cloud our judgment so we wouldn't accept Jesus as our Savior.
Right.
But Satan, what's fascinating about Satan, and I first heard this on Penn and Teller, is first you have to buy into the whole fairy tale that is Christianity.
Right. Yeah.
And then you have to believe
that there's a Satan.
There's Satan.
Yeah.
That there's a devil. Right.
And which a lot of theologians and people that write books about Christianity who are Christians believe the whole Satan thing is a metaphor, including Elaine Pagels, is a metaphor for Judaism and the Romans back in the day. Because they were like, okay, these guys are the money changers and all the shit, the corruption, the politics. They're all in cahoots. That's what Satan is. But they just couldn't come out and say it. Because if they did, they started naming names, they'd all be crucified.
Yeah, just like the current regime, the current theocracy we're in. We got to keep our eye on this Taylor guy, Harold Taylor.
Well, they didn't have the word back then, allegedly, that they could say after everything.
Oh, allegedly, right.
Or they didn't know.
Yeah, but they didn't have the Patriot Act back then either.
That's true.
Where they could ship us out 25 miles and execute us.
Render us
motionless.
They call rendering transportation of people. But yeah, they can, after they render us, they can render us again.
There you go.
Motionless.
But so the devil is a fairy tale on top of a fairy tale.
Right.
He's like Santa Claus. First you got Christianity, and then Santa Claus comes out of it. Then you get Christianity, then the devil comes out of it.
Well, you know, Jefferson wrote a Bible. He rewrote the Bible and took the mysticism out of it, and he totally respected.
What was it, like two pages?
No, he totally respected the philosophy that the supposed Jesus or these,
turn the other cheek.
These book writers wrote.
Love thy neighbor. Love is the answer.
But the people that read it are reading into it literally and with all the magic behind it.
And Deuteronomy. Don't forget that, John.
Stone your ass.
God hates fags.
That's right.
It's in Deuteronomy.
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 Deuteronomy. Yeah. Well, we got to go, man.
All right, there. You have a special bonus religious clip of John and Scott. Hey, Gazy, Total Talk Nonsense.
Whether you want it or not.
Whether they believe in fairy tales or not. And there you have it.
Yeah.
All started out with the Sopranos.
We'll take it out with that song, The Future is a Joke. All right?
And the future. The future is going to be a bigger joke than today, I tell you that.
That's right.
But today's a joke, too, with the W and the chimp. When did they write this song, John?
What song?
When was the song written and
five,
recorded?
5 years ago.
Oh, my word. these guys are like prophets.
So, when they said the future is a joke, they meant now.
Right.
They
Way of the it. Bob oh, is like my. A prophet.
Wow. Well, Way of the Bob.
Revelations is really happening, John.
His license plate is P666UNKY.
Whoa.
Punky, but 666. Way of the Bob. Beelzebub. Whoa, dude is right.
Whoa.
We got to go. We're AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
We're out of here.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.
Hi, this is AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
Let's start a riot!
You motherfuckers! Yeah. Get off your ass and start a riot!
Go to podriot.com!
Listening to Pod Riot may cause
oily or fatty bowel movements,
increased number of bowel movements,
urgent need and or inability to control bowel movement,
bowel movements that are orange or brown in color,
gas with discharge,
oily discharge,
stomach pain,
irregular menstrual periods.
If you suffer from any of these symptoms, please contact Professor Tom at KinkySexRadio.com.